like to preach, and I have the opportunity and the joy and honor of being a priest. So I am blessed. All right. I am always thrilled when I am to talk about the power of God, because it's so exciting and it's so wonderful, because Christianity is about the power of God. Christianity without God's power is like orange juice without orange. Really? It perhaps has the right color, yellow or whatever, but Christianity without God's power isn't Christianity. And in Scandinavian and the West Europe and United States, we have a Christianity that is based on thinking, that is based on understanding. But in the whole worldwide church, except the so-called educated Western world, the church are not depending on their minds. They are giving their heart to God, and they are depending on Him. So, and I am as perverted in my mind as you are, because the thing about God's power, it seems and it sounds so strange. Well, the power of God is for those traveling guys, you know, Bonk and Benny Hinn and that guy over there, that meeting. No, the power of God is for every single Christian. Really? It's for everyone. And that includes you, and that includes me. And that's grace only, really. I am a very proud father of two children. I have a daughter, she's 6. He will have her 7th birthday this autumn. And I have a son, he's only 2 months old. His name is Leon, he's great. And my daughter, her name is Emily. And our wife, and her name is Charlotte. And her age is secret, but I am 30, and she's 2 years younger than me. All right? So you can use your mind if you have one. The power of God is not a toy. Really, it's not a toy. It's not something you will pray for being funny, for being cool. The Holy Spirit will never equip you with His power if your purpose or your motives is for showing up yourself. This is very important. I will come back to this point many times during this 1.5 hour. Really? Yes? You will be stuck to this place for 1.5 hour. And if you try to escape, I will chase you and I will kick you down with my martial art. Perhaps you will kick better and I will get some punch, but never mind. Try to commit yourself for 1.5 hour of teaching about the power of God. So please try to leave the concert tonight. The concerts will be great and awesome, sure. Try to leave all the pretty gothic guys out there or all the cool punk girls down the basement and try to commit your heart and your mind to the teaching right now. So put your hand upon your chest right now, everyone, and we'll pray. Father, help us to be focused here and now, Father. I thank you for your name, Jehovah or Yahweh, meant. The meaning of your name is the one who is, not the one who was or the one who is to come. Right? Your name is, Father, the one who is. So help us to receive what you are saying to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. At least in how many in this building are not from Sweden? Great. Good. At least in Sweden, there are lots of quite new TV shows, TV series, that is about supernatural stuff. Witchblade, quite new, fancy. I like it. You have Millennium, Archivex. Yeah, I think they have the same series in Norway and... No? Germany? Oh, whatever. I watch a lot of TV in my life. I have a life, I promise you. Really? But I actually watch a lot of TV shows, and that is both because I like it. To say, well, I'm only watching TV for the kingdom of God. No, because I like watching good science fiction and fantasy and action films. Really? I'm human. Really? But I also watch this because if I am to be a youth preacher in Sweden, I have to live in the future world. I need to live in my mind in the world that young people are living within. So I have to watch awful soul and hip-hop shows at MTV. And sometimes I'm just pewing. Oh, this really sucks. But it's needed. Because if I am entering a school and I will have some kind of connection with the class or the group of pupils, I have to communicate in a way that they can understand. So I have to see a lot of mainstream garbage. But often mainstream garbage are quite good, really. No, yes. I can pray for you later on. So you will be more open-minded. To be serious. Today, a lot of TV programs is about the so-called supernatural stuffs. Today, young people in Sweden, they are used of thinking about witches, about video board, about magic, about the occult stuff. These things are no longer for a little specific sect groups in the schools who always wear black clothes, you know, the Christian guys. No, it's at least in this building. It's no longer that way. Today, the supernatural longing and the desire and the hunger for something more is common. And we have to fill that need with not even more Christian artists. Artists is needed, and musicians is needed, of course. But the thing that we are to give them and offer them is the presence of God. And let's listen to the Word of God. I love to read the Word of God because then you can't blame me. You have to blame God. I'm innocent. I'm the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. Listen. This is my favorite. When I was saved, I was 17 years old, and I got this word in my heart. I was, now we're talking. Oh! This is about Paul. The great man of God, Paul. He was very well educated. He was a doctor in philosophy, history, religion, how to behave, subjects, and all this kind of stuff. He was a very, very well-educated man. He was intelligent, he was smart, but when he was to preach and to meet these people the first time, this is his story about his first meeting with the church of Corinth. When I come to you, brothers and sisters, of course, as you know, I did not come with the eloquence of superior wisdom as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear, and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. This is not a Pentecostal church, but please, a half hallelujah. Helle, helle. Great. This is awesome. The faith was not to be built by just being a smart guy. The faith was built about experience the power of God. So Paul, he did not depend on his human giftings. He depended upon God's power. And for you in this seminar that are musicians or artists some way, the thing is the same with you today as it was for Paul. You are not to depend on your angel-like voice. Oh, your singing is so nice. Your voice is like hearing an angel. Well, nice for you. But you are not to depend on that voice. You're not to depend on your fast guitar jet fingers. You are to depend on God's power. This is so important, because if you want to make an impact with people in the concerts, and when I say make an impact, I'm not talking about being good and having a great performance. I'm talking about if you want to make an impact in their heart and take the persons closer to Christ, then you have to depend on God's power. Some of you guys in this seminar are broken. I don't need to be a prophet to say, well, there's someone in this meeting that has some kind of needs. You know, of course not. But as an evangelist, I am equipped with a prophetic gifting. And that is necessary in my ministry, both in churches, schools, and at streets in Gothenburg and all around this beautiful little world. Some of you people in this seminar, you are actually broken. And you don't know why you have ended up at this seminar. Really? Really, you don't know. Because, well, I don't want to minister in the Holy Spirit power, but the other seminary was filled, and I can't understand Norwegian, so I'm here. But I think that God has a purpose of sending you to this seminar. Not because that the big man of God, Marcus, is preaching. No, I'm just an ordinary you, a normal guy. But the message for you is the opposite. You are not meant in the closest future to do a lot of God-filled stuff for God. Your calling, listen carefully, this is from God. Of course you have to try it, but I think it is from God. Just as the story of Martha and Mary in the Bible. And Martha, she was doing a lot of good stuff for serving Christ. But Mary, she was just sitting there. Oh, I want to hear Jesus. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus and just receive. And finally, Martha was pissed off. She was really mad. So she said, Jesus, I can't stand this any longer. Please tell my sister to give me a hand. I'm doing all the work. And she's sitting in the presence. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Of course, she was jealous and she was angry. Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, yes, she has decided the best thing. Don't take that away from her. If you are broken, your faith is weak, or you have experienced some dark forces in your life, some demons. So some of you guys, well, demons, they don't exist. But some of you guys, you have a real experience of demons in your own life, in a very concrete way. Or you have been abused, or you have some kind of brokenness in your life. Then take this as a word of God. Use this teaching about the Holy Spirit, about how to help yourself to receive his power, not for giving it further, but for your own sake. So sit, I'm here 1 hour and 5 minutes at the feet of Jesus to receive. So don't feel panic when I am to talk about using the gifts for others. If you are broken, feel peace. You have the right of just receiving, really. But on the other hand, some of you are overfilled with teachings. I can't stand one more word about God. Because you are big, but you are not powerful. If you can identify yourself with the other persons, it's time for you to start acting and start giving the power further. I will start the teaching, the concrete teaching now. Number one, the biggest foe, the biggest enemy in your life is not Satan, it's yourself. My favorite band. Is it anybody in this building who could shout out a prophetic quest or whatever? Saviour Machine, of course! Oh, there are men of God in this building. My favorite band are Saviour Machine. And in one of their lyrics, they're saying like this: "We have met the enemy." And there's a long pause. "We have met the enemy." Well, Eric Clapton, he's more like, "We have met the enemy." But anyway, I'm not a singer, I'm a preacher. "We have met the enemy, and he is us." So beautiful and so true. And when I am talking about that you are your own worst enemy, I'm not talking about your weakness. Really not. Your weakness have never been and will never be a problem for God. Read the Bible. God has been using weak people during all history. And he's doing it right now in front of you. I was born with a stuttering mouth. My name is Marcus. I couldn't talk at all. Really. Until the age of 17, my mouth was not working. My self-picture was, well, they were the normal guys. The guys that were a little bit cooler, the girls were a little bit prettier. They were really cool guys. Oh, the really, really fancy girls. And then there were the losers. And underneath them, they were Marcus. That was actually my perspective and my point of view according to my self-image. Well, that was me. But when I met God, something happened. I saw myself in God's binoculars. And I was not that bad. There were actually some giftings that was within me. But when I was involved in church ministry, lots of these older ladies, you know, who were praised and they are praying and they are singing these psalm praise and all that stuff. I said, "Oh, Marcus, you are so nice. You're doing street work." "Yes? It's so good to have you in our church." Well, I said, "Yes, shoot." But after a couple of months, and a month become years, I started to get a very wrong perspective in my mind. Well, I'm not that bad, really. You know, I'm quite a man of God. So I growed too much. Do you get that picture? And from being born with this handicap that God healed, and from having a self-picture of being worthless, I growed and growed and growed, and finally I saw myself. "The salvation of Sweden is soon to come, because I will start my ministry." Oh, Satan beware, Marcus is on the way, you know? And it was actually that bad. So right after my exam in school, I called up a Bible school and said, "Well, my name is Marcus, I want to be a worldwide preacher in Sweden. What to do?" "Well, we don't know you." "No, but God knows me." All right, perhaps God knows you, but who are you? Well, I have the Bible in my hand. I have the anointing, and that's all that is needed. Well, do you have a Bible school background? No. And then he said, very gentle, because he was wise. Marcus, in our denomination, it's Evangeliska Frikyrkan. That's my church in Sweden. Well, the Evangeliska Free Church or whatever. In our denomination, you have to go to Bible school, and we have this 4 years pastor program. No, no way! Satan, get away! Not away! Not a chance! And then we have this 1 year Bible class. Really? And then we have this 10 weeks course. Oh, now we're talking! And then we have this short 6 week school. Well, I take the 6 week Bible school, of course. And I went to that Bible school, and listen, I went to that Bible school with the following motives. I don't need this Bible school, but I can certainly be a blessing for the other pupils. Talk about being flesh. Talk about being a man full of pride. Talking about being worthless, but thinking that you are something. And I went to that Bible class, and every evening I had small gatherings where I was sitting at the side of a small ship that was to symbolize that the school is a missionary station. I was sitting at the ship's side, and I have lots of people in front of me. I said, well, do you have any questions about God? Well, I'm a Christian. How about music? What do you want to know? And I gave a lot of very bad answers. And I thought there was something. And one night, there was a guy. It could have been me today. Or could have been you if you are a preacher. And you're talking about the Holy Spirit. There was a guy who went to that Bible camp. He was a short guy. 1.57 or something. And I am 1.93. He was quite short in my height, according to my height, but he was big in God, really big in God. Impressive guy. And said, well, he talks Swedish, of course, but I'm talking English now. Well, I am to talk about the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And I said to my friends, well, now we're talking. Finally, something good to learn, at least. And at last, my favorite subject was taking up to the surface. And I was talking about this, and then he said, anyone in this building who wants to receive the power of God, the anointing, please step forward. And I rushed forward. I was number one, of course. I thought, God, I don't need any more anointing, I think, but a little bit more is always great. I was standing there, extremely proud. And then it was 120 Bible school pupils at that camp. And then he was to pray for me. And he stopped, he looked up to me. But it felt like he was looking down at me. Because he had that majestic voice of God anointing in his human voice. And said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, my child. I cannot send you to missionary field or to any kind of ministry right now. And I was so shocked. I was shocked. And said, because there is so much flesh within you. Flesh! I have no flesh! I have no sin whatsoever. I haven't read a bad magazine for a lot of months, because I'm holy now. I have no sin. I started to defend myself in my mind, but then I gave up because their voice was that powerful. Marcus, first you have to die from yourself at the cross of Christ. Then I can feel you, and then I will perhaps call you. And he was praying this prayer in the microphone. It was so embarrassing. So from being the great man of God, I was the greatest sinner of all. The Bible school. I was that humiliated. So I went to bed early because I was it was that embarrassing for me. The day after was another guy who was talking about dealing with sins and putting your secret sins to surface and give it to God. And I thought, well, after yesterday, Lord, I better make it myself than having this prophet guy. Well, you there, please come forward. It's better to do it yourself. So I went forward and I bent my knees. And then the power of God was upon me. And it was awful. I mean awful. I have never been that afraid in my entire life. Because God's power was that huge. It was like you being in a car broken into pieces machine. A press. And I was feeling, Lord, you're killing me. And I actually felt he said yes. No, you can't say yes. I said, Lord, I can't stand anymore. I know. Lord, there will be nothing left of Marcus. You're getting the point. And I was afraid, and it was that my body hurts, my soul hurts, and my spirit or my inner man was also filled with pain. And I was lying there, I was crying for 3.5 hours. The big, cold guy Marcus was crying there. And finally, there were only two things that I dared to pray for. It was not time to say, well, Lord, I want to have a Mercedes. If you are in the power of God and he's killing you, you are not in the mood of praying for a Mercedes or a nice girlfriend. Perhaps the day after or something, but not in that specific time. And I had the guts to pray for two things. Number one, Lord, please let me please let me preach. Or if I am not allowed to preach, please kill me. Take me to heaven. And you have already come half through. So it's not that big deal for you. Really, because I was afraid. And the other prayer was, Lord, that something has happened in my heart today is obvious for me. But please, let my friends at this camp see the same change as well. The day after, the first person I met when I was out of bed was a lady. He said, Marcus, you really had a meeting with God yesterday. They had to carry me to my bed, 4 persons, because I couldn't walk. Marcus, you really had a meeting with God yesterday. Yes, I think so. I see that in your eyes. There is another light in your eyes today. Your eyes are no longer hard. They are soft. And I'm telling you this long story for one reason. The more pride you will achieve yourself, and the more proud you will be, the harder is it for God to use you. Really. Because God will never share his glory with anyone. Really not. And for you musicians, if you are honest, if you're honest, there are this temptation. You are on stage, the fans are shouting, and you're doing your thing. It's so easy to steal glory from God. Really. It's so easy to, instead of, that is a guy, it's like, I am the guy. Your purpose on earth is to, in all possible and impossible ways, focus Christ. It's like tonight at the concert, I will be the introducer,
Well, the next band is dut 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 dut. They are playing dut 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 pop. They like Pink, and you know, and I will be the introducer. But when I said, and now give a hand to, my task is over. Imagine Marcus still standing there, and the band is starting, and I'm still standing there, and I'm not get the point right. Well, it's nice to be here. Oh, get away. It's nice to be here. Do women want to hear a story? No more stories. Please leave the stage. We want you to see the show. Of course, it's stupid. And of course, it's wrong. And it's ridiculous. And it's awful. And it's the same thing with our life. Your task is to point to Christ. While being a great musician, of course. Did anyone in this music group like football, soccer? None. One. When Brazil took their gold medal, the biggest championship ever in this year, when they won their prize, listen, this is so beautiful. They got a gold medal. The nicest prize you can achieve, you can win as an athletic. They bend their knees for being photographed. Oh, what do you say? Whatever. When the journalist were to take photo of the team, they bent their knees, and two of the winners, they lay back their gold medals, because they had these shirts. I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. 100% for Jesus. Seven persons at the Brazil team, they have t-shirts that said, Christ is great. I love Christ. And they, if any athletic, have the right of having 15 minutes of fame. These were these guys. They had the legal, the spiritual right to achieve focus, of course. And I gladly have given them all focus whatsoever, because they have been doing a great job. But instead, they bend the knees and lay back the gold medal, because the gold medal cannot stand in the way for Christ. I hope you're getting the picture. Perhaps I sound a little bit hard and a little bit angry, and that is because I am angry at myself and at us Christians. Because if you're a musician and you are gifted, use that gift for the glory of God, not for the glory of me. Well, let's leave this very important point. There will be no power of God over your life whatsoever if you only are interested of being big yourself. How do you receive God's power? I won't give you, well, this is 10 spiritual keys. I won't give you. I've read a lot of garbage book about keys. Some books really sucks. Excuse me for my bad language. And so some books are right, and some books are good, I think. Some keys are true, of course. But in general, the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is not a medal for being in duty long and faithful. This is a misunderstanding in the church, at least in the Church of Sweden. Well, if you are doing a good job in the church, you're being faithful, you are doing the thing, after a couple of years, God will reward you. Here you have a little bit, Holy Spirit. For you've been doing this job good for 7 years. That is lie, and that is unbiblical. The Holy Spirit is to be received by faith.
You receive it by faith. You can be 1 week old Christian, and you can start practicing and start ministry in the Holy Spirit, because it's a gift received by faith. These shoes, they are not that fancy, so you don't have to be impressed. But these shoes is a gift from my wife. It's a gift. It's not for Marcus. You've been that good cooking at home. So I give you, you're not getting a very high Dr. Martens because your food is not that good. But you're giving these middle cool shoes. No, Marcus, I love you. Here you have. And the only thing I have to do is was to receive. It's the same thing with God's Spirit. The only thing you have to do is to receive. So don't think that a person who is very effective or very powerful in his giftings, you say, well, he must be serving Christ very good for long years. No. Paul said that the giftings is giftings by grace, given by grace, giving freely. Given freely, and you can receive it freely. Now some short teachings about faith. You receive by faith, as we heard. Shall we take 5 minutes break? Welcome back. You always lose some people when you are taking a break. And that is actually good, I think. Really. Because I don't want to force anyone to sit here on his butt or her butt and just longing for it.
You will be here with your whole heart, or perhaps 51% or something. How do you receive the Holy Spirit by faith? How? Number one, and you are doing it right now. You are listening to teaching according to the Romans, the book of Romans. Paul is writing following. No one can believe if he have not heard. And of course he cannot hear if no one is telling him. And no one can tell anything without being sent by someone. And then there are some quotes from the Old Testament. And then it all ends up in. So faith is being given by hearing the voice of God. And the voice of God is being found in the Bible. So your faith is actually being equipped in your life. You are being equipped right now, and your faith is getting a little bit bigger just by listening. But that is not enough. That is point number one. That is the first step. It's listening. Number two, it's experience. Experience. And you can experience by seeing something great take place. You can experience by being a part of a ministry. If you are getting yourself involved in some kind of ministry, it could be shield ministry, it could be street ministry, it could be use your fantasy or you use your own background. And you are dealing with people and you are seeing what is happening in their eyes when they are hearing the gospel. Then your faith is getting bigger. I'll give you one example. I was a priest and a teacher at a confirmation camp 2 years ago at the summer camp in Jönköping, quite close to here. And there was one guy at that camp. He was chasing another guy because they want to impress the ladies. Guys are always that stupid. How many girls are actually being impressed of two guys chasing each other on the ground? If you're being impressed, I can pray for you later on. Because, of course, there's nothing impressive whatsoever. But we guys are that stupid. So we tried to impress by doing this. And one guy, he was slipping at the plan, and he broke his arm. It was a giant wound at his arm bow. And as he was falling at the ground, he got lots of stones on his flesh. So he got a quite nasty wound on his arm bow. And I said, well, never mind. It's not that bad in front of the girls. No. And then later on, the pain is killing me, you know. And we watched. Oh, no, not watched. Watched, of course, sorry. We watched, and then we washed away the stone and the dirt from his arm bow. And he went to bed. And they were supposed to follow the next day. He said, well, I better take it to the doctor, just being sure. And the doctors, when we went there, and they were angry. Why didn't you show up yesterday? He has a quite deep wound here. Well, he said it was not that bad. It's too late to do something now, because the flesh is too old for sewing or something. So let's make the best of a bad situation. And they put on a giant plastic stuff here. And this guy said, oh, it's so bad, I can't touch my arm. I want to be sport athletics stuff. And the next day again, that was to follow. When we had the night meeting, night service, he took some step forward to receive prayer. I said, Marcus, can you please pray for me? I said, sure, Pete. What do you want me to pray for? My arm. Well, we have been at the hospital and we have done everything right. Yes, but it feels bad. Please pray for my arm. And my faith was not that giant, I must confess. It was like there was this big cloud of unfaith just forcing the building and was placed right upon my head. He said, please pray for my arm. I said, well, Lord, I thank you for Peter's arm. It's a nice arm. I pray. But while I was praying, something happened in my heart. And I actually started to, in my mind, seeing that arm, perhaps not healed, but a little bit better shape than it was. So I said, all right, Pete, I'll pray. And I said, well, and I heard my own mouth say, well, I speak in life in this arm. I speak in life, hello. I said, I'm speaking in life into this arm bow. And he said, well, thank you. And he looked, he has taken that plastic stuff away, and he was sitting looking at his wound. He was taking his seat at the back. And in the eyes of 40 confirmation camp youth, both churched and unchurched people, this wound started to be healed. We could actually see how new, fresh skin was growing on his elbow from nowhere. He said, oh, look, guys, look! I said, well, look at my arm! And of course, they were thrilled. And I was moving, I was shocked. Well, it actually worked. Oh, there's a God. Now, of course, I know there's a God, but you know. And the following day, it was not that hard getting their attention when we were to have Bible studies. Please tell us about God. And if you're reading the Bible, God through Jesus. Jesus Christ, he's God. So it's the same, but we don't deal with the Trinity right now, right? God in Jesus. First, he often demonstrates something. And then he preached. You always find that line in the Bible. First, God is doing something great. It could be helping the poor. It could be doing some social work.
It could be doing a miracle. It could be casting out some demons. It could be in setting a person that is trapped in fear and guilt free, and then he preach. But if you want to follow that line, you have to have the anointing, of course. And I am, this is, listen carefully, this is always the problem when a preacher is starting to preach. He is always telling those fancy stories. And I'm not telling you the 3,989 times I prayed and nothing had happened. Of course not. Because that is not needed to hear, because you have it in your own life too much already. So don't give me a holy Gloria. Oh, holy Marcus. I'm just a normal guy, but I believe in a God. I believe in a great God. So the faith for receiving is number one, by hearing. Number two, by seeing or experience. So make sure that you're placing yourself in a situation, in a congregation, in a society, in a group where God is doing things. Really. Because your faith is getting bigger when you are seeing and experiencing things. It could be going to a baptism. It could be very, oh, this is great. Something is happening. It could be doing some social work at hookers and pimps. It could be a lot of things. But when you are dealing and you're doing things and you're seeing things be done, then something happens in your heart. And number three, this is the most important thing. Your faith will rise when you're using that faith you already have. How many in this building, and be honest now, haven't prayed a prayer just like this? Lord, if I only get a little bit more courage, then I will start doing something. 4, 5, 6, 7, many. Or, Lord, if I only get a little bit, or you are waiting to be equipped for starting to do something. But you know something? When you are using the things you have already been equipped with, then you will be more equipped. And your faith and your anointing will even go stronger. Let me give you a very physical, unbiblical, just normal human body example. Example for being British. Oh, I needed this. Well, I broke my right leg in a ski accident when I was 13. I was having a very high speed all down that mountain, and I was quite up high in kilometers, really. And then stupid Marcus, he saw a jump some 100 meters from me, and I, whoa, now we're talking jump. And I was when I was 5 meters from jump, so, well, this is a freestyle jump. A freestyle jump, you should have 30, 40 meters before the jump. For do some tricks, I had perhaps 1,400 meters. So I was just going up there, and up, and up, and up, and almost reached our heaven, and Jesus, no. But, you know, I was really going up the air. And there were some guys there who did some tricks. They were doing like this. Really, I saw that in my left eye. This is not going to end up well with that stupid Swedish guy, whatever he was. And I passed far away the landing place, and I landed on the ground, was flat. And my left leg was, and I was felt backwards, and the ski didn't loose from the boots. So my leg was broken into pieces.
I don't need to describe in detail, but every skeleton in my inner bone was broken. Both my skeleton bones were into pieces, and I was shouting of pain, and it was blood all over the place, and so on. I don't need to tell any more of the stories. The point is, I had to walk on crutches for first four months, and they were using lots of things in my bone. They had plates, and they have lots of stuff for building up the bone again. And after 4 months, they have to take these things away, so that my right leg won't be shorter than the other. And then I have to walk on these crutches for 3 and 4 months again. So in 1 year, more than half a year, I walk on these crutches. And what happened? The bone that I was not using, what do you think happened to that? To the size of that bone? My even before very thin, 13 years old, wannabe man, no muscle at all leg, was even more thin. So I was an extremely good gothic guy back then. And then my left leg that I was using, what happened with that leg? It was not that big, but it was a little bit bigger. And then, some years ago, I was reading the Bible, and Christ is telling an example. He said, the one who has been given a lot, they will be given even more. And the one who has less, the tiny thing they have, will be taken away from them. And it perhaps sounds nasty of Christ, but it's natural. If you don't use your faith, what will happen? It will get weaker. And if you use your faith, it will get stronger and bigger. So remember stupid Marcus, go to ski, and then you will have a picture of what will happen and what will unhappen or not happen when you are not using or when you are using your faith. And start with something small about ministering with the Holy Spirit. If you have a friend that have a headache, can I pray for you? You don't have to go to the concert with Iron Maiden or some band and say, well, can I have the microphone, please? I have a prophetic word to share. Of course not. If it is God, please do it. If you have the guts. But it better be God. It's start with something quite simple, and when you think, well, it's working, then take next step and then next step. So don't rush too fast in dealing with spiritual things. Everything has its time. You don't put a Harley Davidson big bike on the hands of my daughter. She can't handle it. Big bike, small Emily. Not a good combination. I would be a very bad father if I gave that big engine power to her. It's the same thing with God. He's not giving a big anointing to you, a big spiritual power, if you're not ready to it, if you're not ready to handle it. Do you understand? When I saw Spider-Man, I see lots of movies, as I told you, the first session. And I have that kind of gifting. Perhaps it's a gifting from God, or it's a gifting from me, or a combination. But I always got a good preaching picture from every movie I see. Some pictures are quite hard to find, but they are to be found. But if I am looking at some dirty movies, the only thing God is stern. Turn that peep shit off. Of course, I can't watch a porn movie. Well, I want to learn something about the kingdom of God. He said, turn that
sinful, awful movie off and start to pray instead. So I'm not talking about seeing sin, of course, but other movies. I hear and I see something from the kingdom of God. And in this movie, there's this line in the whole movie with great powers follows great responsibility. With great powers follows great responsibility. And this is the same thing with the kingdom of God. God will not give you an extremely huge anointing. Yes, that's like that. Well, I was just sitting at my room watching TV and I followed all soaps that was to be found. And I was on the internet for looking at soap homepage, because my whole life was being based around these programs and these shows. And one day, God spoke to me. And then he gave me this extremely big anointing and now I'm out there doing... No! That story is not true. When you're using that tiny faith you have, God said, well, Marcus, you are dealing with this first mission quite well. Now you have mission number two. It's like a computer game. Level 12. Imagine yourself starting at level 12 with this little power, this little spittle or battle power, whatever, and you meet this giant boss in the end. Good luck. Good luck. You need a lot of prayer for making that game successful. It's the same thing with your Christian life. You cannot start facing great enemies or great missions, great tasks, if you're not equipped. And God loves you. He's more concerned of how you are feeling yourself than what he can do through you. You are not just a tool. You are not just a tool for God. You are his beloved son, his beloved daughter. And he wants that if you are feeling well, if you are doing well, then he can do good things through you. I will tell you one story. And this is so exciting. I was at a coffee house in Gothenburg. And I was sitting there with some of my friends. And there were a very exciting combination of people there. There were some Gothic people, some punkers. There was one guy on the opposite of the table. He was a magician, dealing with some powers of any kind. And there was the same guy who was a satanist. A black guy. He was not evil, but he was quite dark and black. Like I know you guys. But he was more evil. I hope. And this punk girl called Emma said, Marcus, do you have some coins for me? Sure. What do you want to do? I want to call, make a call. This was some years ago before anyone had a cell phone. Back then, not anyone had a cell phone. So well, here's some coins, and she phoned to her job to say, I cannot get there today because I have problems with my eyes. So she came back and said, Marcus, thank you. You know something? I have a disease. I have a sickness in my body. Sometimes the things that is supposed to make the eye wet so that it won't dry end up coming. That liquid in my eyes, sometimes it just end up coming. And then I have to go home and I have to lay down on my bed and I have to have this medication in my eyes to stimulate this process. And right now my eyes is hurting and I can't see. And then I heard that terrible but lovely voice of God in my heart. And he just said, Marcus, ask her if you can pray for her. So well, this is not a good idea, Christ. The owner of his coffee house, he's gay, and he don't like Christian people acting like this because he has been meeting Christian has been quite anti, according to him. So I don't think that he would be that happy if I as a Christian start to have some kind of meeting at his coffee house, and
On the opposite of the table is a guy who's a Satanist people, and next to him there's a guy who's a magician, and those guys next to me, they are doing drugs, and also gossip people, and I am here among these exciting mixed up people. And God, he didn't care of answering my question. He has said it once again. Marcus, please ask her if you can pray for her. So I swallowed, and I swallowed, and I prayed in tongue, in silent. Somebody understand that? And I said, Holy Spirit, help me. If you gave me this idea, you better help me, because otherwise I would be quite angry at you. Like he would fear that. But I said, Emma, yes, you know that I am a priest, yes? And you know that I deal with supernatural stuff? Yes, of course, you are a priest. Sure. Is it all right if I am to canalize supernatural power into your body? She said, Marcus, you mean if you are allowed to pray for me? Yes. Why didn't he say that? Well, I was too embarrassed or something. It was natural for her. I was a priest. Of course, I have contact with God, and of course I can pray for her. For her, it was simple. But for me, it was quite unsimple. And I started to pray for her. And you know, the eyes of these people around the table, they were like giant plates. And that guy was a magician. He tried to find out what was I saying and what was I doing, because he wanted to learn himself. But the difference between magic and prayer is huge. Prayer is having a relationship with God, and from that relationship, God will give you power and he will answer your prayer out from that relationship. And how you are using your body and your words is not important at all. It's all about your heart. But in magic, it's the opposite. It's very important which words you're using and what you do with your body. How you're doing it. And I pray for her, and it was silence on the table. I said, Holy Spirit, come. It's a good start. Come, please. Touch her. And for making a long story short, she said, thank you, Marcus, and she left. And the next day, I met her. It was 1 year. It was 1 week after that was the first day I met her after this prayer time. And she gave me this big hug. She said, Marcus, I'm not a Christian yet, but I can't say that I am not a Christian either yet. I don't know really. I don't know if it was the power of your God or the power of priest or the power of whatever, but it helped. Thank you. Bye. She was that sweet, that pretty. And I met her just 2 years ago, and she has still no problem with her eyes. And faith is always spelled risk. You will never experience how you can minister in power of the Holy Spirit if you're not taking the step out from the boat onto the water like Peter did. So if you want to have a very comfortable, safe, good, pretty, well-behaving Christian life, you will probably not see much of God power in your life or through you. Because there's always a risk factor when it comes to the power of God. We have 8 minutes to go. And I will force you to do something now. Almost force you anyway. I am 1-1 against all of you, so it's quite with bad odds. I know that. But I will ask you to do something prophetic into the face of God. Do like this.
I want you to take one thing and put it here. It could be a shoe, it could be a jubilee, it could be a shirt, whatever. Don't take your pants, please, but feel free whatsoever. And put it here, and during the time I will lead in prayer, and we say, God, please help me to not depend in my own gifting, in my own equipment, in my old so-called gothic cool style. It's not important. If your neighbor is getting divorced, said, Marcus, please, could you pray for me? No, but to have a cool gothic shirt. Come on. Or you're meeting this broken guy at the street. Please, is there a God? I'm fighting against nightmares. Oh, please pray that these nightmares end up. No, but I play in a very cool punk band. Christianity is about the power of God. So you have to, if you don't want to, please be seated and do not leave that chair, because this is in front of God. This is between God and some of you. But if you want to experience the power of God in life, you have to make a stand. And if you have not made the stand before, it's time to make that stand today. And say, God, forgive me for trying to handle it in my own gifting. Forgive me for depending on myself. Or perhaps, forgive me for trying to be the idol, for being the introducer for the concert, even if the concert has started. It's time for me to take a step aside for the glory of Christ. Do you get my challenge, right? And this is freely. If you're doing it, do it with your whole heart. And then we'll pray that God will follow you with his spirit. Let's rise together. Father God, I ask you that you will give us that faith that is needed according to our different lives and situations. And you see these people in this meeting that right now is hurted, that has pain, that has been hurt. I ask you that you will start a healing process in their life. And let them feel this freedom. Well, now it's time for me to be merry. To just be sitting in front of Christ and receive his love and his healing power for my heart. So if that is you, yes, receive. But if you're longing for the power of God in your life and through your life to others, then it's time for you to receive that. There's only one thing between the power of God and your life, and that is your pride and your lack of faith. And now we will pray that God will take this pride away from us, and that he will use that tiny little faith that we're having. And Christ said, if you only have faith like a mustard seed, and it's the tiniest of all seeds you're using that time. So your faith is enough. You don't need to have more faith to get started. The faith is growing when you're using it, the faith you already have. So in Jesus' name, Father, I ask that you will bless this time of commitment, and you see each and everyone's heart in this building, and when they are putting their stuffs down here, help them to also put their hearts down so they can bend their knees in front of you, just like the Brazil guys did, so that they can use their gifting for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.